Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host, Glenn Martin. It is a Friday night, Glenn. We are so excited for the Baltimore Ravens Sunday matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. We are here to get you prepared. Glenn, how are you on this hot Friday evening?
Yeah, strangely warm in Baltimore. Not complaining, enjoying the hot weather. But yeah, it's a beautiful night. I'm excited about how the Ravens answer or how they follow that crazy impressive performance against a team that everyone. Do you think there'll be any national pundit that picks the Cardinals to win the game?
maybe some joker. No, I don't think so.
So how do they handle that? You know, like the difference of being, you know, the obvious and complete and total top dog. You just don't want to see the old trap game. That's all I'm thinking about. But clearly the better team.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say, though, is that I think that the Ravens, there would have been very few people that picked the Cardinals anyway. Even if the Ravens played differently in the Lions game, I think the Cardinals are just that bad of a football team. But I understand your point. Got to stay focused. There's still an NFL team nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is that as much as this game could be, you know, is seemingly lopsided in a lot of ways, this is a big game for the Ravens because it can serve as a momentum game, right? Like now you've got this boulder up the hill. Mm-hmm. Now it's going downhill, but you got to start pushing. You know, now it only takes one finger to push. But you still got to push, you know, and so we need them to start pushing a little bit and continue to build on that momentum. That's what great teams do. So that's what they've got to do.
Nice if some of the North teams would lose, too. I mean, holy smokes.
I know. It's like, oh, the Ravens are going to. Yeah. How are the first of all, how did we lose to the Steelers? I still hate that. I hate it. Dude, we're going to beat their brakes off when they come to Baltimore.
I think so. But I thought they would destroy him the first time, so what do I know?
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, yeah, of course, we're going to get into it. Like I said off the jump, we're here for the preview. We're here for you guys. We're going to get into health. We're going to get into players to look out for. We're going to have our breakout players of the game. Of course, we're going to go over our over-unders, everything else under the sun, and we're looking forward to it. So let's start with this injury report, Glenn. Let's pop this baby up and see what we got going on.
Yeah, now the one I was able to find didn't have Fridays included, but I know what it was, so I can fill in those gaps. But as you can see here, good news after some guys weren't able to participate on Wednesday, most notably Roquan Smith popped up with a shoulder injury that, of course, John Harbaugh was very tight-lipped about and just referred to the injury report. But the good news is we've heard it from Roquan himself. He will be out there. He will be playing. Another guy who missed on Wednesday but returned Thursday and Friday as well is Keaton Mitchell. A lot of people were kind of disappointed to see him kind of tweak a hamstring in his first action as a pro, but looks like he'll be healthy enough to go out there and participate this weekend as well. Adafe Owe, that's I think he missed Friday's practice after getting in a limited session on Thursday. And then, of course, Marcus Williams has already been ruled out with the hamstring injury and the pec. So really right now, the only definite absence is Marcus Williams, as far as I know. And then Adafe Owe, I think, is doubtful, which I don't think he'll play either, if I remember correctly. Let's see here. Man, I was just trying to pull up. It showed today's injury report. Hang on one. There we go. Only miss. Yeah. So just Adafe and Marcus Williams are the only two at risk. But Adafe could play, but Marcus Williams isn't going to suit up. So no surprises, Jimbo, at least on the Ravens side of things. Now let me just quickly pull back up. Here we go. The Cardinals side of things. Now they have some issues. You know, they were. I think they're hoping to get Jalen Thompson back this week. He's listed right now as questionable. Kyler Murray, Jimbo, is full participant. Off the injury report. But they're not going to activate him off the IR this week, so he will not be playing. What do you think? Were you?
Well, he'll be playing Call of Duty or whatever
not
he plays.
If his contract doesn't allow it, Jimbo.
Yeah, whatever video game he plays these days. I don't know. I'm not a gamer, so I don't know. But yeah, I just like knocking Kyler Murray. But sorry, I totally cut off your question. What was your question, Glenn?
Well, I mean, were you concerned if Kyle, because Kyle returned to practice last week as a full participant. There was a chance he could go this week. Doesn't look like they're going to activate him. Is that, are you relieved?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference to me. No, I mean, he was a quarterback propped up by Lincoln Riley. I mean,
oh man, yeah. I love that you have such strong opinions on all these guys, man.
Kyler's an above average quarterback, but I think I just don't think he's Lamar Jackson when it comes to the impact. I mean, not very many people are, but I don't think he's in that echelon of impactful type player. Sure, he's leaps and bounds above Dobbs, right? That's fair. Yeah. Even with one leg, I'm not going to sit here and disparage the kid, but no, 1 week off his first week off the ACL, he'd be running for his life anyway, right? So, like, why would you test the ACL this week?
No, I completely agree. And I think on top of that, you're playing the number one defense in football, which also isn't the welcoming party I think you want for your QB1. But good for him for being healthy. Apparently, I listened to a bit of the presser from Coach Gannon, and he says he looks explosive coming out of the pocket, and the arm the ball's jumping out of his hand. So we'll see what the rest of the season has in store for him.
I was never like the Cardinals again after the remember the meme they put up, Lamar Jackson. What was it?
Oh yeah, running back. Call him a running back again. Yeah. Again, like this was before this season started when the schedule got released.
Yeah,
they took a shot at Lamar, and I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that everyone's aware of that shot heading into this game, right? Everyone on the team.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Good luck with that, man.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson is about to go off. Torrey Richard, guys, I hope you are doing great. I will be at the game Sunday as I'm a Phoenix native. Sadly, it's my sixth game in person, and I'm on a 4-game win streak going to see them. So let's hope good luck for us. Nice. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a sad thing to be a Phoenix native. I think it's all right. I think there's a lot of people that like Phoenix. I'm not a fan myself, but that's okay. You know, teach his own. A lot of people
that
like
was
it.
Funny. I love that, Jimmy. That was great. I don't know if that was a compliment. I don't know what that was.
No,
that
there are legitimately a ton of people.
It's not
that
so
like
bad.
Phoenix.
I hate it, but hey. No,
I don't hate it. I just don't like the idea of living in an oven for, like, that's I just true. Can't. The heat, I can't bear it. I just bear. Everyone's like, oh, well, you're inside the AC. I'm not an inside guy.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I just can't. I've tried and I've spent some time down there and I just can't get used to it. So it's just too much for me. But a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. It is what it is. I think with 4-game win streak, you're good luck, Torrey. So
yeah,
I'm happy
man,
you're
you are
going.
Officially better luck than Glenn.
That's hey, wait a minute.
Well,
what
because
is this?
Like, isn't it? Don't we have this thing going on where every time you win, we lose, and every time you
oh,
win,
you're
you
talking
win?
About the competition, not yeah, when I attend games. Okay, yes, we do have that thing going on. Yeah, absolutely. So but like, that has nothing to do with me attending games in person.
Oh, that's
I want
true.
To make sure
that's true.
You know,
that's
I got
true.
A pretty good record or a run going myself as far as well. Actually, we did lose to the Steelers when I went last year.
Yeah, and it was a death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah, it was brutal. Terrible. So brutal. But shout out to Torrey. That's awesome. You get to go.
Dude, wasn't support that 2 years ago, by the way?
Was it 2 years ago?
Was
Might have been. Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
It was the last game of 2021?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Dang. Man, time goes by so freaking
crazy,
fast,
man.
Dude. Massey says, D. Henry trade must be done. He'll make the Ravens even better. Yeah, it's, rumors are swirling. And he'll prevent the Browns/Chiefs from getting him. That's my fear. Eagles, best NFC team, and just add another piece. Yeah, they certainly did with Byard. Yeah. And look, I don't want to see Derrick Henry go to one of the contenders either. But at the same time, I'm kind of in a weird place with Derrick Henry. Like, it's intriguing in the sense that I think about them two in the backfield, and it's exciting, but I also understand that Tyjae Spears is taking all the snaps as a receiver, and he's not the first one to do it. Basically, that's his – Derrick Henry's career is you sit down on third on obvious passing down. So he's not going to replace what you're getting from Justice Hill, and he's not replacing Keaton Mitchell. And he needs a lot of carries to become effective. So basically, you're saying you don't want Gus Edwards anymore because he's going to take all of Gus's work if you trade for him. I don't know how the two could coexist because you have to have the receiving of Justice Hill.
What if that
Mitchell.
Was part of the trade?
What?
Gus Edwards was part of the trade. I don't want that to be the case. I don't want that to be the case, but I'm just saying that could be, I don't know. I'm just,
that'd be
so
the
that
only way
they don't
way
have to
making
coexist. It immediately fixes the problem, right? Like,
Yeah, but I can't imagine the Ravens trading Gus. Like, that's their guy.
Well,
like,
he's in a contract year.
Their guy for somebody else's guy.
Yeah.
Like, what has Gus done but exceed everything?
Every expectation. No, I'm with you as well.
I just can't see the Ravens making that move.
Yeah, no, I'm with you as well. But there's a lot of talk around the water cooler about this trade scenario, and it seems interesting. It could be the Ravens also just upping the price on Derrick Henry, right?
Or the Titans upping the price on everybody.
That's true too.
Using the Ravens name. But I did see Cole Jackson tweeted out that it's not as much smoke in the castle as it is everywhere else. The Derrick Henry trade. That's what he something roughly saying that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes out for sure. But it's the only at this point significant trade that I've heard about, unless you've heard of others. Now, I did hear the Broncos are taking calls on Surtain.
Man, that would be exciting. Oh my gosh. Now
that would get me up out my seat.
That would be, you talk about adding strength. You know, you talk about the Eagles, what they did when they added Jalen Carter, made a strength even stronger. Well, man, you can make a number one defense a whole lot better. You get Surtain in the building.
Yeah, but then what are you saying to Brandon Williams? Brandon Williams. I was calling that Brandon Stevens.
Sorry, bud. It's funny. You said Brandon Williams, and I knew exactly who you were referring
to. But you could always push. You could always push Marlon. You could have all three of them on the field at once very easily. Yeah, very, very easily. Sure. It's more like what you're saying to Darby. Sorry, dude.
Yeah, yeah, probably. The way Stevens is playing, yeah. But you can never have too many talented corners, so.
Well, let me ask you really quickly, though. Do you think a deal gets done? We're closer to Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, deal gets done. I just don't know. The team doesn't have an obvious, like, area where I go, it has to be this. Excuse me. But if they can get, I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of positions I wouldn't be mad at. If that's all I'm get, like receiver, I wouldn't be devastated, even though I don't think we need it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad about a pass rusher, but again, I don't think we need it, especially if Oway is okay. I don't know, man. I don't know. Shock me, EDC. Surprise me and make us all happy.
Yeah, I agree. I think a move will happen, but I'm not 100% sure what it is yet. All right, let's keep this train moving here, Glenn. As you guys know, on Fridays, we break down these matchups both offensively and defensively. We give you some names to look out for. We give you some stats to look out for, some keys to the game, breakout players, all the above. So we're going to get right into it. And that is the Ravens offense versus the Cardinals defense. Of course, the Cardinals defense has some names, but as always, my trusty colleague, Glenn Martin, and I'm sure has some statistics for us. Now, I just want to say this. The Cardinals defense, or the Cardinals in general, you guys know the record is what it is. Like, they're not they're not surprising anyway in that, like, they're not leading the league in the upper echelon in anything at this point. But this is still an NFL team. So talk to me about some stats. What anything that you, when you were looking at them, Glenn, you were like, this is better than I thought. Or is this all like, defense? Okay, this is what I expected. Yeah.
No, it's bad. It's bad. But I will say this, to your point about it being the NFL, they have one win and they beat the Dallas Cowboys, and that is a quality team. So they can beat a quality team, but defensively it's hard to see anything they're good at. So they give up 26 points a game. That ranks 26th in the league. They give up 368 yards a game. That's 28th in the league. They give up third down conversions at a 46.5% rate, which is 29th in the league. Rushing yards, they give up 130.7 a game, 25th in the league. Passing yards per game, they give up 237.5. That's 23rd in the league. So they don't have anything outside of the bottom third, and most of their stats are the bottom five defensively. So now, they got some guys. You know what's funny? When I always pull up, you know, teams, especially teams in the NFC where I'm not as familiar with their roster, I see guys that we talked about a lot, like in the draft, you know, in draft buildup. And one name that jumped out. You remember when Zaven Collins was, everyone wanted Zaven to be a Raven because it rhymed. But he is leading them in sacks. So he ended up being a heck of a player.
Small school kid, right? Like crazy athletic? I'm going to look him up.
Yeah, definitely athletic. Let's see. He came out of Tulsa. So, yeah,
relatively
small school. but he was the 16th pick in the draft. And I remember a lot of people wanted Zaven Collins to be a Raven. But yeah, he leads their team with 3.5 sacks, a couple other big names. They get Buda Baker back this year. Everybody knows Buda Baker, all pro safety. You know, he's been around, seen it all, done it all. He's obviously a heck of a player. Everyone remembers him from being ran down by DK Metcalf on that pick six opportunity. And DK hawked his ass down when everyone else would have stopped running, except for DK. And then Kazir White is their leading tackler, but he's more than that. I mean, he by far leads their team in tackles, but he also has two sacks and a pick. So he's kind of a do-it-all linebacker. He's certainly having a strong year for them. But, man, they don't have – I mean, Kayvon Wallace is a safety second on their team, but they don't have a lot of guys, Jimbo, that really scare you right now. They're definitely in a transition period as a franchise.
That's a nice way to put it, Glenn.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've been through it here with the Orioles. So we get it. We know where they're at. Oof. Now, are they going to be successful as the Orioles? I don't know. I mean, you know, you need to have a quarterback first, right? You got to have the captain of the ship.
That's right.
But nonetheless, look, they're going to trot out their play. I know that Gannon wants them to play physical, wants them to play disciplined, wants them to play fast, whatever the case may be. And there's guys out there playing for jobs. So, look, they're gonna play hard and do what they can. I think you talked about being a trap game. The exciting thing for a team like the Cardinals right now is that this is like a Super Bowl, man. You go out there and you beat the Ravens. This is this year's Super Bowl, right? You go out there and do something like that after they just took the head off of the Detroit Lions. So definitely an opportunity for them, and they have to be licking their chops if they're thinking, you know, if they're competitors, right? But offensively, you know, I want to hold on real quick here. I have some Ravens stats to get into, and I'm sure that you guys already know kind of what's going on, but I want to point out a few things because while I do, Glenn, one of the things I want to mention is I'm going to pull these stats here, but look out for OBJ, right? Because he led our league he led our team in receptions last week.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have another big game in your opinion this week?
I mean, I think why not? He's the type of guy that a big game to me is it's not what it used to be for him, right? Big game for him in the past was double digit catches, you know, triple digit yards and a touchdown or two. I don't think that's what we get, but what we get from him is when he makes plays, he just juices up the whole team. You know, we talk about Roquan and what he's done for the defense. To some degree, OBJ's done that to the offense. You know what I mean? I'd like to see him, you know, kind of galvanize the guys when things aren't going well a little bit more if he feels comfortable being that guy. But I tell you what, when he plays well, everyone else gets juiced up. So even a handful of catches, it's more than that when it's OBJ getting them, because Zay feeds off of his energy. Bateman feeds off his energy. Lamar gets hype when he plays well. So I just think even if it's not a big game by his old standards, yeah, I think he's in for another similar game to last week.
No, that's awesome. I agree with you, though. I'm excited to see the trend of OBJ continue to arc in the correct direction for him in this offense and his involvement. But let's talk about it. The Baltimore Ravens offensively, it's crazy to me because it doesn't feel this way. But Lamar Jackson quietly, if I'm not mistaken and my math is right, he could get really close to 1,000 yards again this year, rushing.
Oh, on the ground? For sure.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. He's leading our team in rushing, but it doesn't feel that way. Now, it's incredibly close with him and Gus. He's at 363, averaging over 5 a carry. Gus is only averaging 4 a carry at 346. So they're close, but it feels like this is the quietest 363 that Lamar has had this year. I feel like a lot of his damage has been in the red zone, which is good. That's where we want it, right? That's where he's most dangerous. But as of right now, Lamar's also, you know, at a 71% completion percentage, averaging 230 a game. Look, he's already compiled 1,600 yards. I don't know if he gets 6,000 this year, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Lamar is Lamar and playing super well. So we're excited about it. But I obviously talked about OBJ. Just a couple other things to point out here. Man, I didn't realize this. We have four guys averaging double digits per catch. And these are not all of them have over. Well, some of them have a lower amount of receptions, but like OBJ is averaging 11, Nelson 13, Mark 12, and Zay 11. That's, you talk about a well-rounded offense. But yeah. You know who's averaging the most?
I'm looking at Gus Bugatti, baby.
That's right, Gus Bugatti, 23 yards. Yeah. But no, I think that's a pretty cool stat. That kind of popped out of me just going over it. But look, speaking of yardage, Zay could also get up to that 1,000 yard mark this year.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's got to be exciting for him, unless he takes a a dive.
Knock on something.
No, and his productivity. I mean, an injury or anything. If his productivity just drops off. But Mark's already halfway to double digit touchdowns. It's ridiculous. Just a machine. But this offense, you guys know, you're Ravens fans, it's the Ravens channel, has a lot of ways they can beat you, spreads the ball out, has been running the ball effectively, and also scheming guys open. Really, my question to you though, Glenn, is this. What can they do in this game to improve, to take the next step? So you stand on the shoulders of this last win. Oh, yeah. What can they do offensively for you to say, okay, this is something that I didn't feel like they were doing before. Check it off the box. Now they're doing this. Like, where do they go from here after such a dominating performance?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Todd Monken talked about it. He mentioned that it's great that Lamar Jackson has those abilities to go off script or ad lib. Yeah. I think he mentioned it, but as an offensive coordinator, you can't count on Lamar Jackson buying 9 seconds of time in the pocket to find a guy open who's done, ran. He's now not running his route. He's now off script and he's scrambling. Like the Nelson Agholor touchdown isn't something as an offensive coordinator, Todd Monken can count on happening all the time. So while it was a great play, I think that play overall has a lower chance of being sustainable, because if they had any pass rush effective, they could have, could have totally changed that whole play, which could have changed the game. So I think the big thing is getting the ball out more in rhythm instead of asking Lamar. And again, he will always have moments in every game where he just turns, puts the cape on, right? But you don't want to have to rely on him putting the cape on. I think what's ideal is that he doesn't have to scramble around and buy all that time for a guy to get open. The guy's open in rhythm, on time, and we don't need 9 seconds to get a guy open. So I that's what I'm looking for, is just quicker. Get the ball out of your hands quicker. Don't stand back there. Now, the offensive line might do just as good a job this week or better, because they're facing less talent, but they had a fantastic game plan for Detroit. So I just don't think you can count on all the ad lib stuff that Lamar Jackson was able to do. So let's just get back into a better rhythm. And I think Todd will be a little happier. And I think Kurt Warner will be a little happier too.
Yeah, old Kurt Warner. That's a good point. The other thing I want to mention that DK brought up really quickly before we get to Deet's question is, does it concern you that the wide receivers only have 3 touchdowns on the season?
Oh, yeah. I guess so. Does it concern me? Well, they only have 3 pass catchers have touchdowns. Zay has 1, Nelson has 2, and Mark has 5. Nobody else has 1 as a receiver. But so does it concern me? I guess so. Maybe you like to see it spread out a little more, but Mark is our best red zone guy. So do I want him to stop throwing to Mark and start throwing the other guys? No, not really. So I don't know. What do you think, Jimbo? I mean,
yeah, I'm not at this point. I'm not super nervous about it, because it's just about getting the ball to your best guys.
Yeah.
It's just about getting the ball to your best guys. And like, let's not, our wide receivers only, like, I don't think Monken does this. He's like, oh no, we need to get our wide receivers more involved in the red zone. Let's force feed them right now. Well, until they can stop us, why do something different? I think that we have the talent out there. The one thing I'll say is this. I've been a bit disappointed by... I was excited about OBJ because of his ability to catch the ball in the red zone. His ability to be to take guys one-on-one in a man-to-man situation and in a small space, because of his athletic ability, because of his... he's not the biggest guy, but he's got incredible hands. He's got incredible leaping ability, incredible body control. So I feel like him catching the ball with somebody draped all over him, he's one of the best ever we've seen do it. Not that we need to see that, but I would like to see a little bit more of that, because I think he's one guy that can come in big for us when teams do shut down Mark. Schematically, they take Mark out of the picture, and Lamar has to get somebody the ball in the red zone. even if he doesn't look open, like, let's grease the skids on that. So Lamar and OBJ kind of like already know what each other are thinking. I would like to see that a little more, but also I say that I don't want him to force feed him either. So you got to kind of walk that line, but that is one aspect of the red zone that I'd like to see a little bit more of. Cause really that's why I think he's worth $18 million.
Yeah. And that could be something we see as the season goes on. They did give him a shot against Joey Porter.
Yeah.
Maybe fade routes aren't the preferred route against the 6'4 corner, but I agree. I think he it would be nice to see him more involved. Adit says, could the Henry interest be smokescreen for someone like Jacobs, Antonio Gibson, Javonte Williams, or Dalvin Cook? Well, I can tell you what, I don't want Antonio Gibson. I don't want Javonte Williams. I don't want Dalvin Cook. I mean, I'd be okay with Jacobs, I guess, but it would have to be very cheap because I don't think they want to sign him to an extension. So how much are you going to give a guy for a running back? How much are you going to give a team for a running back that you're only going to have for half a year? So I would say I don't want any of those guys. I'll keep our guy. I definitely don't want Antonio Gibson. Heck no. He stinks. Dalvin Cook is spent.
Man, and Antonio Gibson came out hot, remember?
I know. I used to
lie. I remember you nice. Like you brought him up.
Yeah.
Like you were like, dude, but this kid.
He disappoints me, man. He fumbles way too much. He got the
yips, man.
Yeah, man. He fumbles way too. And Javonte Williams, he's not even commanding carries in a backfield when he's going up against Samaje Perine and a rookie McLaughlin. So, no, I don't want him. Jacobs is the only guy I would consider, but again, it would have to be very, very cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, I could see I could see them doing this, but the Raiders doing this, but man, how many more times are they going to dismantle this team?
I know, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Get rid of Devontae, dude, because that poor guy's wasting his final years of greatness.
Right. No, I couldn't agree. He's going to end up with the Jets next year somehow. Some way, somehow. He'll be on the Jets next year.
Because A-Rod might be back this year.
Hey, that's true.
That crazy surgery.
Maybe Dobbins is back.
Yeah, man. Hey, they got the same one, dude. They're rehabbing together.
It's crazy stuff.
Did you see him throwing the ball around just nonchalantly?
Yeah.
You couldn't even tell which leg he had the surgery on.
It's nuts, man.
Dude's superhuman.
Yeah.
It's that ayahuasca, son. Hey.
I've tried that stuff.
What?
Yeah.
No, the hell you have not tried ayahuasca.
You have. Ask Tanya.
Where?
Here at the house.
No, you're mistaken. Ayahuasca.
I'm not mistaken. We can talk about it off air. It's probably a better idea. My mom might be watching.
Yeah, I think so. But that shocks me if that's the case. But anyway.
Yep.
Find out Jimmy's got a problem.
No. It was just, you know, some enlightenment. That's all.
I got you. Yeah, man. Open up some different windows to a whole other reality. I gotta line my
chakras, dude.
All right. Well, going up against, you kind of got an idea. I mean, this is defense is not playing well. What's your key to the game? Who's going to be your breakout player?
Yeah. So my key to the game is real simple. Like, just don't get cute. Let's not. Monken likes cute sometimes. And we've seen in the red zone a couple times. We've seen some goofy plays in the backfield. Like, let's just get out, jump on their throats early. And get this game over with, right? Like, this is an NCAA tournament 16-1 seed matchup. Like, let's just get out on them early, you know? So so mine is play clean. It's really that simple. Let's just not get cute and play clean, period.
I like it.
And I'll tell you, my breakout player is Zay Flowers. You know why my breakout player is Zay Flowers?
Because
Marquise Brown's going to be there.
Oh, so they're going to show him.
You mean
they won't just highlight Linderbaum? That's who we got.
They're gonna split him out wide.
Let's find a way to get Linderbaum involved in this.
Could you imagine
play.
They split him out wide? Like, hey, that kid's athletic enough.
All he's gotta do is report as eligible, and then sneak him out on a little pattern, dude. Get
on the rock. No, they'll get him on a little tush push. That's how they'll highlight.
There you go.
Going on a little tush push. But yeah, I think Zay Flowers, because he's going to be like, you know, it's like the first time that Lamar's going to the dance with Zay, and his ex is going to be there, and Zay's got to be like,
the new hotness we got.
That's right. you know, Zay's going to spend an extra 30 minutes primping and prepping.
Yeah.
Ready to go. And he's going to ball out.
9-100.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I think you're right, though. I do think he will be featured. I'll tell you this. If you guys are gamblers and want to go to BetUS and yep. use promo code 410 to get a match, 125% of your initial deposit, I would do the over on all things Hollywood as well. I think they're going to do a great job of trying to get that guy a ton of targets, ton of looks. So if you're taking the over on prop bets, take Hollywood on the over, because even if they don't do well, he's going to have 15 targets because they're going to want to try and make it look like we won the trade, not you with the all-pro center that you got for him. But yeah, anyway. All right, well, my key to the game, Jimbo, something was pretty interesting about last week is in our first, we started off the game absolutely on fire, right? Like couldn't do anything wrong. A touchdown, mm-hmm. touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Well, in doing that, in that time, we converted 4 of our 5 third down opportunities during those 4 touchdown drives to start the game. And the one that we did not convert, we ended up converting 4th and 1 the very following play. That was when Lamar Jackson walked it in on the fake to Gus, and he walks it in behind Ronnie Stanley on the left side. So in their first 4 all touchdown drives, they converted every single conversion, whether it be third down or fourth down. Mm-hmm. After that, they went over 4 on third down, and we saw a major, you know, kind of it just stopped after that crazy, you know, first 3 quarters. So mine is just, you got to convert third downs early and turn those early drives into points, because that just totally took the Lions out of the game when they did that. They went right down the field. Mm-hmm. They converted when they had to. They didn't have a lot of third down opportunities. A lot of it, they were just 1st and 2nd down. They're picking up first. But if they are faced with third down early on, convert it. I don't want to see these early drives stalling like we have in weeks past where we can't get into a rhythm. Our defense starts to get tired out. We give teams that shouldn't stand a chance more hope, and just step on their throat early. Convert just like you did last week. Convert those third down opportunities early, and it'll lead to early points. And then my breakout player is Gus Edwards. I think he's going to get opportunities at the goal line. I think I'll have 2 touchdowns. Not a ton of yards, about 48 yards, 50 yards, but 2 tutties.
I like it. Go 57. 57 right. yards.
I'm writing it down. 57.
57 yards, 2 touchdowns. No, I like it. And I like your breakout player. I think it's, man, I'm excited. This is going to be a fun game. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. As long as this doesn't become a tragic scene.
Hey, Jimbo, this is interesting. Quick stat from last week, because it seemed like they did such a good job, the offensive line. They did. It kept them clean. But also, interestingly enough, Lamar Jackson set the record. Since this has been tracked, this stat's been tracked since 2009, the most passing yards under duress in a single game. Hmm. Previous record was Pat Mahomes in 2018. Say, yeah. He threw for 205. Get this. Didn't just beat the record. Again, Pat Mahomes, 205. Lamar Jackson on Sunday, 246.
Mm.
Broke the record by 41 yards in most passing yards under duress in a single game. I mean, he destroyed the record. So, man, Lamar played his ass off, did he not?
Yeah, no, he absolutely did. I mean, trust me, I was front and center for it. I picked him 3rd overall in our fantasy draft. So
I'm paying off now.
Yeah, it's about time. It's about time. I'm coming back, dude. Him and Cooper Kupp are going to save me, bro. Second half of the season, let's go. Anyway, that's here.
Dude, Dalvin Cook is washed, guys. He's trash.
Yeah, he's
washed.
Yeah, it's just not worth it.
It's washed.
Yeah, I agree.
Look at what he's doing. I know you guys are thinking about the old Dalvin. Look what he's done this year.
Yeah.
It's not good. But anyway, let's get into the other side of the ball here, Jimbo.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
So let's talk about their offense against this number one defense here in Baltimore. All right, so offensively, of course, you got to worry about Marquise Brown. Leads their team in catches.
Do you have to worry about him? I think Marlon disagrees.
No, that was a false quote. He did not say that. Somebody making some stuff up. But no, he leads their team in receiving touchdowns, receptions, receiving yards. He leads their team in every receiving category. So, of course, you got to look after him. You also got to make sure you keep eyes on Michael Wilson, their second receiver, who's second in virtually every receiving category. They're running back Amari DeMarcado, who is now filling in for an injured James Conner, who should be back in a few weeks, and then also injured Zach Ertz. Filling in for him is Trey McBride, who's also had a pretty damn good season, even when Ertz has been in there. But Jimbo, let me tell you a little bit of something about their offense, because it's a lot like their defense, Jimbo. 18 points per game, 24th. 319 yards a game, that's 19th. They convert third downs 39.5% of the time, 18th in the league. They are, they average. Oh, now this is where they're, okay, you talk about a bright spot. They can run the ball, but a lot of that was with James Conner.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, they're sixth in the league, averaging 139 rushing yards per game. And I will say this about Josh Dobbs. I think he leads the league in quarterbacks with 20 plus yard runs. He's got a lot of big chunk runs this year, Josh Dobbs. So he's also influencing their top six rush attack. So they can run the ball. Now, passing is not as good. They're 28th in the league, averaging 180 yards passing a game. So it's clear, Jimbo, that they have to run the ball in order to find success offensively. And that's tough sledding against the Ravens. I mean, I don't know. This is a damn good Ravens defense, Jimbo.
Yeah, and if your bright spot of your offense is Josh Dobbs running for 20 plus yards, because he's not Lamar Jackson. He's certainly not faster or more athletic, in my opinion, than Roquan Smith or Patrick Queen. Justin Medibike for that matter. So that's, or Jadeveon Clowney. I would argue that Jadeveon Clowney beats Josh Dobbs in a foot race.
Yeah. Probably.
So
it's probably just because people are sleeping on him so much. So like, he's not going to run.
Well, and I wonder when those runs can't come, because the defense is so set far back because they're playing ahead that, like, you know, there's nothing but green grass in front of you. It's like, all right, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
You know, we'll give you that.
I'd be shocked if he breaks one off for a couple, but we have a very fast defense, very fast. Everywhere is fast.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about it at all. This is one of the games that's hard for me, like, to get amped for, but also I'm excited for, because I focus on different things. I get in the finer detail, right? Like, obviously we need to win, but once you realize the game is at a place where the Ravens are going to win, you need to start looking for fine attention to detail, ways we can find ways to use this game to improve. Like, you remember, look, it's like the greats, right? Wasn't there a game that Bird came out and played left-handed the whole game?
Yeah.
Like,
dominated.
Yeah, so I think, like, there's other things that the Ravens, I'm not saying they need to play left-handed. My point is that there are things we can do to turn this into a learning experience and not just an experience where you're like, hey, I'm the big kid in the neighborhood, so I'm just going to dunk on everybody's head. Like, what do you learn from that? Nothing. You know, so let's go out there and win and learn at the same time.
And by the way, Jimbo, just to let you know, the Ravens are first in points per game, defensively.
It's going to be a serious,
first
in points, right. It's going to be a problem for them.
Second in yards. They're first in yards per play. They are, let's see, rushing. They're fifth against the run as far as yards per game, and they're first against the pass. So yeah, it's not. It's going to be a long, long afternoon.
Tell me, okay, all right, Glenn. I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. To think about this, but I want you to give me your best speech if you're Gannon.
Yeah.
What are you saying to this team? Like, put the game face on, Glenn. What are you saying to them? Like,
I'm saying, look, boys, we're playing with house money. Everyone, even our own fans, expect us to lose this game. So what do we have to lose but to go out there and play our asses off? Sure, they may beat us. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what the hell he's going to say, Jim. But honestly,
sure, they may beat us.
I mean, honestly, he has to be thinking we have to get lucky. Like, there's and I think the luck will only be found on the other side.
Glenn, you see that?
Dude.
Goosebumps. No, I didn't get goosebumps, bro. But it was good. I liked it.
No, but what I'm saying, like, your chances of getting lucky against this defense are way less than getting lucky against, like, our offense has had moments where the mesh point isn't right. Maybe the ball gets on the ground. Like, there's things the offense has shown, like, man, you know, maybe they'll mess up, but the defense, it's so hard. I mean, teams pack their defense, man. It's just going to be hard for them to move the ball. So they're going to need an awful lot of help, Jimbo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think same vein. I think I would just say, guys, job number one is let's not beat ourselves. Because if we make our own mistakes, there's no chance we're going to beat that football team's
coming. Dude, I love your key of the game. That's so disrespectful.
Is it?
Dude, that is so disrespectful. Oh, bro. Yeah, that is.
But look, honestly.
That's rude.
I'm sorry. My key to the game is stay healthy. Because we have different aspirations than the Arizona Cardinals. Look, it's like this, dude. I'm going to tell you. Look, you see, I told you I had a spill before the show. This is see the evidence of peanut butter on my shirt?
Yep.
Golly day.
That's nice that you dressed up for the show, Jimmy.
Yeah, I actually did put this shirt on for the show, and then my son got peanut butter on it. Anyway, but what I want to say, it's like this, dude. Think about this. So you're doing really good. Everything's going well. And then you decide, you know, everything's going well in life. You decide to go and do something reckless. Let's say...
skydiving.
Yeah, sure. It doesn't have to be that reckless. Go say play basketball with some people who think they're playing for their livelihood. Right? And you come back and you come home and you got a jacked up knee. You got a shoulder that doesn't work well for the next 6 months. Like, you had different aspirations than the people you're playing basketball with, right? Or soccer or football or whatever.
Like, this guy's trying way too hard over here.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at point, I've it's like, there. Okay, let's just go there, have a good time, and stay healthy.
Yeah, yeah. Because take care of each other.
Two different aspirations for these teams. So, defensively, we can't afford injuries. Offensively, we can't afford injuries as a team. But certainly, stay healthy, defense. That is a disrespectful key, but I'm not taking it back. I'm not taking it back.
Look, I'm going to tell you this. What they want to do is they want to run the ball. And then they want to play action and try and hit chunk plays. Okay. That's what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and hit Marquise Brown deep down the field. You know, they're going to throw to Trey McBride. They're going to throw to Michael Wilson. They're going to try and get chunk plays based off play action. Hope that play action fake buys them enough time to do so. Now here's the problem. They're not going to have enough time to do it.
Right.
So what they're going to have to do is rely on yak yards. And I will say this, Marquise Brown, He's got over 100 yards of yak, which I don't think he ever hit that when he was a Raven. So that's nice to see. But they got guys. I mean, Rondell Moore's got 95 yards of yak. Michael Wilson's got 78. McBride's got 88. So they got guys that can move with the ball in their hands. DeMarcado's the same way. So my whole thing is I don't think they'll have time to do the deep play action game. But so I think they'll go to get the ball out of his hand quick route and hope that guys can make guys miss in space and turn a short play into a long gain. And if we tackle how we've been tackling all year, they just have no shot at that. So that's my key, is just tackle in space and limit the yak yards, because I think that's going to be their only way they can move the ball. Unless I can't imagine them running the ball well, even though so far this season they've done it well, albeit with James Conner, and he's not in the game. But they have to run the ball to set up their play action game, or they have no chance of moving the ball.
Man, yeah. That's a great point. That's certainly a bit more astute than mine. I'll give you that one. but I'll give you my defensive breakout player of the game. It's going to be Kyle Hamilton. It's going to be Kyle Hamilton, because the last time we played a pretty low quality quarterback, no knock on Josh Dobbs, man, it really feels like I'm destroying the Cardinals today. And I don't mean to, but it is what it is.
Kicking them while they're down, Jimbo.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. But you remember Gardner Minshew? I mean, they beat us, so I can't even say anything, you know, too much.
Poor tutties last week.
Man, they could not figure out how to stop Kyle Hamilton.
No.
And I think they're gonna have the same issues here. And I think Kyle's going to go off. I'm looking forward to it. Wait, didn't you pick Kyle Hamilton last week?
Yep. Or maybe the week before in London when he got thrown out. Actually, I did take him last week because he got thrown out in London. I took him again. Yeah. I'm going to go Kyle Van Noy, Jimbo, because this guy.
Kyle's, dude.
Dude, yeah. Off the couch university, this guy has been, I think, so much more than the Ravens could have even dreamed he would be when they signed him. Or else they would have signed him a whole hell of a lot earlier. This guy has been absolutely incredible. I think he'll continue to get his legs under him and only get stronger and only get better. And I think this game, he really takes advantage of kind of a weak offensive line and a team that, again, I think is going to try and hold the ball for a little while to create some big plays. And Van Noy's going to make the most of that time.
I like it. I like that. Kyle Van Noy is the only BYU player that has my approval. So,
Okay. Nice. All right. I
like him. I don't mind Kyle Van Noy. Never have. Nice. Okay. Part of it is because he knows his place. I mean, he knows.
Is after what Lamar did to him? Is that
I mean, like, he knows who the better school is.
Oh, here we
like,
go.
He knows. Here he knows. We go. Well, it's clear. It's clear. But he knows. Like, he's objective, right? Like,
he knows.
So I respect him for having the objectivity. JL says the Ravens, not too many people in Utah have objectivity. JL says the Ravens are going to beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game in front of Taylor Swift, and Kyle Hamilton will lock Kelsey down. Book it. Hoo-yah.
Yeah. I don't even think they'll still be together by the time the AFC Championship rolls around. Let's be honest. She's already going to be writing the album about him by the time the AFC Championship comes around.
Billions off of
him. That's right. That's right. Yeah. I mean, hey, good for them. I hope they make it. But I would love to see the look of disappointment on their face when Lamar Jackson and the Ravens break their hearts in Kansas City, which is where it's looking to be right now. But won't be surprised if the Ravens get a home game.
Yeah. Now, my opinion is that you're going to want to be broken up for sure prior to the game, because as long as Taylor Swift is hanging around, the NFL wants to bleed wants to milk that storyline for all it's got. They want them Chiefs out there playing.
He's playing every time she's there.
Sure.
He puts up crazy numbers, dude.
Sure.
I mean, he puts up crazy numbers when she's not there, but I don't know. Maybe, look, Andy Reid's a person too. He's like, look, I got you, bruh. I'm gonna make you look even better since you got the wifey up in the stands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
He's taking care of.
But, well, I really am not scared of the Chiefs as they're presently constituted. I think the Ravens are a buzzsaw, man. They are a heck of a football team. We keep playing the way that we are. So look out is all I got to say. All right, let's get into it to end the show.
Did we mention that comment? Did I?
Sorry. Let's see.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Was that JL's?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. But it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for our weekly segment, a.k.a. Domination for one, James Haskell.
Here it is.
The competition leader. That's right. But we're here for the over-under, and it is brought to you by our over-unders only possible because of our great partner, BetUS. Guys, get in on the bets. Make yourself some money. Just like Glenn said, BetUS got prop bets, in-game bets, season-long bets, all kinds of bets. Any kind of bet you want, they're there for you, and they're legal in the state of Maryland. So, DK, you can throw those images up if you want. But go to BetUS, use promo code 410, and let's see what we got here. Yeah, here's some spreads. Glenn, talk to me about this. Where are you going on these?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's always scary taking any team that has that big of a favorite. I mean, a 9-point favorite is...
Book it.
Oh, I like it. Okay, Jimbo. But I will say this. I think I like the under in the total. And I like the under because I don't think the Cardinals are going to be bringing much to the party. So if I had to take anything, I would say take the under in the 44.5 total. But look, if you're feeling bullish, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Ravens win by 9. I just get nervous about taking anyone who's, you know, a nine point favorite, because this is the NFL and crazy things happen. We see end game touchdowns that make it look a lot more respectable than it should have been. So if I was taking anything on this one, I'd go under the total of 44.5.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I'm going over. You'll see that in our tiebreaker. Okay. I'm going just
over. So you think
over.
The Cardinals are going to light us up, huh?
No. I think it's 45 points. I think the Ravens win 35-10. Like you said, I think they have three for a long time till they get a touchdown there at the end.
Okay. I like it.
Check out the link in the description or go to BetUS, use the promo code. We have some other graphics here. This is an interesting one too. All right, DK, let's throw this one up here. These are AFC Divisional North odds. I like as of right now.
Book it.
Yes. Do it. Take the money and run, ladies and gentlemen. Go check it out. Look, we got some intriguing stuff going on with BetUS, and it's a really easy way to support the show here. You know, it makes you guys money, and it's a lot of fun to do with you. So go check it out, BetUS, and use the promo code 410. Use the link in the description. All right, let's get into this over-under competition. I would like my domination to continue. DK, what is the first one? Lamar Jackson, completions. 20.5. Last week he got 21. Glenn, what say you, kind sir?
Did I say over here?
You can change it. That's fine. I'll win on the first one.
Did I say over?
No, you know way what? I'm gonna, under.
I did say over. And you know what? I'm going to stick to it because yeah. I don't want to change it. I think he goes barely. What I'm impressed with this year, I mean, his completion percentage has jumped a crazy amount from his career, even last year, even his best year, to what he's doing this year. And I know that a lot of that, you know, there's some short passes in there, people trying to take, you know, shots at him. But I think to me, it's a combination of Monken's new offense and then just better weapons, and Lamar Jackson just continues to get better. So I think because of his increased completion percentage, it leads to total completions of at least 21.
Yeah, I think 21 is, I think 20 and a half is a low bar. I know he had 21 last week, but I think Lamar Jackson will have over. I picked over as well. And I'll tell you why. This offense is, so have you ever heard the saying, or I'm going to back it up just for a second. I won't be too long-winded, but you ever been driving down the street and you hear a Lamborghini, like you're going 30 or 40. You hear one of those things like downshift.
Never seen a Lamborghini.
Yeah, right. You hear one
Not
of those
in person.
You've never seen a Lambo in real life? Glenn.
Not driving. Maybe at like a car show.
You never like seen a Lambo on the road?
Never.
Or what about
in Baltimore?
All right, look, you had a nice
Lambos
car.
Are
think about this.
I had
right?
a nice car,
so
but
you
I,
think
you
about
know.
The Subi, right?
A Lambo, yeah.
Yeah, but if you think about the Subi, even we'll even go there.
Okay.
You all downshift, right. It's like not enjoyable for that car. It doesn't enjoy going slow. Am I right?
No.
It's working best when you are going fast. That's how this offense is. Like it doesn't even, it's not going to be one of those things where we get up early and we just start pounding the rock. We're going to get up early and we're just going to keep scoring. That's when the offense just works well. And so I think that for that reason.
No, you're right, though. It was harder to drive my STI slow.
Yeah. It's not made for it.
No. Once
you
get up.
When you drive fast, you fall asleep because it's like.
I'm like, was I going that fast, officer?
Yeah. Didn't feel like it.
It sure didn't feel like it.
Yeah. So that being said, Lamar Jackson is going to keep chucking the rock around the field and get over 20. So that was a long-winded way to say over. All right, let's go to the next one.
You By the way, DK says under. Only person to say under of us in the show here. DK. The receptions leader for the Ravens, over under 6.5 catches. Last week, like you mentioned, Odell was our leader with 5. So what do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going under here. The reason I'm going under is because I think because offensive players will be so open that Lamar is going to so easily be able to distribute the ball to various people. It's not just going to be concentrated on one guy. So I'm going to go under on this one.
Yeah,
I think everyone's getting touches.
Yeah, I mean, they had 9 like pass Oprah catchers. Out there. Last week, they had 9 different players catch a ball. So,
yeah,
under. And DK agrees. So we all go under with that one. All right. I would have been interesting to see if he would have put that at like 5.5. May have changed some opinions here. But all right, so we all agree under. Next one we have Cardinals yards per offensive play. The Ravens on the season give up an average of 4.1 to opposing offenses. DK puts it at 4.4, over under.
Under, baby. Even though there's going to be some moments where we're playing off and everyone talks about McDonald, him playing off, playing soft middle field, whatever. It ain't happening in this game. You talked about it. You're just not going to have the time. I just think Dobbs isn't going to have the time. And I think it's if the average for the Ravens is 4.4, that means against an average offense, it should be 4.1. Or 4.1, excuse me, it should be 4.1. So that means that a below average offense is going to have less than the average that the Ravens already give up. So I'm going under.
Yeah, I say sub 4 per play on this game. Sub 4. 3.9.
Dude, if DK comes out and wins this game, dude, he's going to not only win, he
trounces us. I mean, everything he disagrees. He disagrees everything we have to say.
Yeah. Good point. DK said in the chat, no garbage time? Question mark.
Yeah.
I get it. Because it'll bring the average up. But yeah, I don't think we bout it, DK. I don't think we bout it.
Nah, they smell blood in the water and no garbage yards this game. They're just going to keep the pedal to the metal.
I've been talking about it. I saw it on Twitter finally. Coach Yost out there. They are not going to gain another yard. That's right.
I love
finally
it.
Saw it out there. All right.
All right. Next one. Cardinals first downs. DK puts the over under at 17 and a half first downs. Last week, the Ravens defense allowed 18.
Yeah, a clean sweep on this one. We all went under. All of us went under on this one. Now, they did allow 18 last week in a dominating effort.
Yeah.
And I swear, I think they only had like single digit yards in the first half or something ridiculous, right? So now they are able to do some things explosively. They mean the Lions that the Arizona Cardinals just can't do. So,
I will say this, Jimbo. I think it's more likely if they move the ball that they do so in chunks. Like, I don't see them putting together a 12-play drive where they rack up five first downs. So I think the way they score, if they do, is chunks, which means not a lot of first downs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, we all went under.
Yep.
All right, let's go to the next one. And the last one here before our two tiebreakers.
No, this is the first tiebreaker.
Oh, sure. We already did all the others. Yeah. You're right. All right. Total score. Over, under. Of course, this is our first tiebreaker if there happens to be a tie in the first four. 44.5 points, excuse me, is the over-under. I, of course, am the only one that went over. I think the Ravens win 35-10. Glenn, what say you, sir?
Yeah, I say under. I say 31-10. So both of us having them, you know, a pretty handily victory. But I think you just had them beaten a little bit worse than I do.
Mm-hmm.
DK says under, though. He agrees with me, and I think all of us are predicting the Cardinals aren't bringing a lot to the party. It's going to be all Ravens juicing this score up. This isn't going to be much participation, or we're going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of pissed off Ravens fans in this show after the game. But last tiebreaker, total yards for the Ravens, closest to the pin. I think, and you know what? I'm glad this worked out the way it did because I'm the low man. 330 is what I'm predicting, 330 yards. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going 360. Glenn, do you have the stats up in front of you? What are the Ravens' average offensive output?
Average. Let's see. Yards per game.
I saw earlier, and I was shocked by everyone's answer, but I can't remember the exact.
Yeah, yards. Where is the – okay, yards per play. Oh, yards per game, 362.
Right, so like picking 360.
Well, look, they put up over 500. Yeah, but they put up over 500 last week. Is that reasonable to think that that's repeatable? I mean, 500
against a much worse defense? A significant. You're talking about the top of the NFC. Now you're talking about the basement of the worst conference in football.
Again, Jimmy, a lot of short fields. That's what I always go to. That's my go-to.
And look,
short fields.
There's a better possibility of that than last week.
Right. Right.
So that's a good point, but I'm going 360 and I'm sticking with it.
No, I like it, but I also think you cheated a little bit because you're telling me you definitely just looked up their average and guessed that.
No, I put in 360 and then when we were looking at the stats, I was shocked. I was like, wait a second here. This can't be the line that DK put, or this can't be what everyone put in because you guys anchored me in that one.
Of course. We always do. We always go first. I mean, here's Jimbo. Jimbo's as I'm talking about the injury report, he's putting his guesses in.
Oh, you know? My gosh. Yeah. Look at this guy gaslighting one time. One time, and he changes the whole narrative. Goodness gracious.
Hey, look, I'm the people's champ. I can already hear it now. Everyone's not the people's champ, Glenn. Everyone's hoping that I take this belt back to my house. I mean, this is ridiculous. You won 2 weeks in a row? Or no, did DK win 2 weeks ago?
No, I won 2 weeks in a row. And I'm winning right this year with 4 victories. You have 2. And
stand
DK
up in
one.
The chat, ladies and gentlemen. Can I get a go, Glenn? Nothing. I got nothing.
No response. You'll get a response. Don't worry. You are the people's champ. That's okay. I'll take it.
It's not as fun when you agree with it.
Well,
you're supposed to hate it when I say it. You see that? There we go. I knew I could count on Lisa Ann.
Hey, look, it's lonely sometimes up at the top.
That's true.
You know, lonely up here, you know?
So, I thought you were talking
about me. Well, no, I mean, record would be that I'm on the top, right?
Oh, there we go. There's some go Glenns in the chat. There we go.
Hey, look, they both
one
got
of them might be my
right.
wife. One of them might be my wife. You better get this belly right.
No, that is awesome. Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, we are excited for the game. Oh, Patrick Carley, sorry about that. Are we in or out on Sertan? That might mean not being able to sign one of our guys on D who have been crushing it this year. Well, look, I don't know what the status is with the Ravens and Surtain, but I do know the first question is whether or not the Broncos are willing to let go of him. They are. Apparently, they're taking calls on him. So Eric DaCosta, I'm sure, is calling and talking to him about it. I don't know whether we're in or out as far as what those conversations are like. I haven't seen any of that information yet.
Are they saying that is Patrick mentioned, like, saying that we're definitely going to sign him long term? Is that because he's assuming that
that's what he's saying. Correct.
Well, I would be surprised if they, but I mean, I guess unless they look at him as like Roquan level.
Yeah.
That'd be the only way I could see that.
And what's Marlon's contract? Oh, we already talked about this, right?
We love Marlon. Like, do you think?
I know.
The whole, I'm saying the organization loves this guy. Shows up to football school.
Yeah. Like, no, I know. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it's painful, but I don't think we can let go of him. Oh, no. We were talking about Marcus Williams. I don't know what Marlon's contract works out to be, but at least it's something to consider in this whole equation. That's all I'm saying.
And corners are pricey.
They are pricey.
Whew.
You know what it is.
But I will say this. Jimbo. Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry, very little interest. Receiving almost no calls is what the reports are right now. I just saw it pop up on my phone, Bleacher Report.
Interesting.
So
maybe. Yeah, well. Yeah, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, you know, the trade line is coming up Tuesday, and we'll be back here on Sunday right after the game. It is a 4:25 local time game, so we'll be back after that game. Make sure you join us, and we'll talk to you guys soon. I wonder if my...